Michael Roach is Chief Executive of the Queensland Resources Council. He joins us from his office in Brisbane this morning. Michael, good morning. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Is Guy Pearce right? Is Australia about to dramatically add to the world's climate problems with all the coal from the basin, from the Galilee Basin?
Can I go and start with something Guy didn't speak about at all? He didn't talk about the demand for coal. He didn't talk about 1.6 billion people in the world today who don't have access to electricity, 2.6 billion people who don't have access to clean cooking facilities. That's what the International Energy Agency said late last year, is that the global demand for electricity out to 2035 will grow by about two-thirds. And that's not surprising if there's 1.6 billion people craving to have access to something we take for granted in comfortable old Australia. So that's the fundamental driver in the demand for thermal coal, the coal that's used in electricity generation. Now, going out to 2035, some of that demand will be satisfied by coal, by gas, by nuclear, by renewables, and of course, hopefully some energy efficiency in there as well. But the fundamental demand is coming out of India and China. And the Bureau of Resources and Energy Economics says that world trade in thermal coal will grow by about 2.6%. Two-thirds of that will be demanded from India and China. That's the drivers. Australia has an opportunity to supply into that growth market. But we need to remember that the world's biggest exporter of thermal coal is actually Indonesia.
But I think if you're listening to that interview, Guy Pearce raises the point that he says Australia has no plan B. So while that demand is there, as you rightly say, with the population demands growing and the demands coming out of China and India in particular, he's expecting there will also be a demand for some kind of cleaner energy as we move from a carbon-constrained world to a carbon-constrained world. And he says we have no plan B if the world moves against coal.
I beg to differ on two bases. We have gas that is more energy efficient, more emissions friendly, and that will be part of our future. But secondly, most of the coal that we'll be exporting out of Australia will continue to be metallurgical coal, the coal that's used in steelmaking. The growth outlook for metallurgical coal, or what sometimes is called coking coal, is a stronger growth curve than for thermal coal. That's the higher price coal. As a Queenslander, I'm very proud of the fact that we are the world's largest exporter of metallurgical coal, and will continue to be because we have high quality metallurgical coal. And unless someone comes up with another way of making steel, then metallurgical coal will continue to grow, and that will be for Queensland the continued success story for coal.
So, Michael, you obviously see no downturn for coal. It wouldn't surprise you then that Premier Campbell Newman's answer to Tony Abbott yesterday, when he asked what were the priorities for Queensland, was basically for the feds to get out of the way on opening up the Galilee Basin coal reserves. He's nominating that as Queensland's top economic priority.
Well, exactly. Go to India again. India's demand for thermal coal is going to grow at about 9% a year, nearly three to four times the world average growth. Is it no surprise then that it's Indian money that's behind these Galilee Basin projects? $10 billion projects, mine, rail and port projects. We have one project that's had most of its approvals now, state and federal. It just simply needs for the federal government to tick off on the port side of things at Abbott Point. And in the case of the big Adani project, they're going through a supplementary EIS here in Queensland. When that emerges out of that system, it'll go down to Canberra for sign-off as well. So I understand what Campbell Newman's saying, because these are projects of the order of $10 billion each. There's a lot of jobs, a lot of exports, and a lot of tax dollars for Australia riding on the back of the success of those projects.
And when you say what's left is ticking off on the port side of things. Abbot Point coal loading terminal, the building of that is very contentious because, and I noticed that the former Environment Minister Mark Butler has bought into this. He said, pointing to the potentially catastrophic impacts of dredging for the expanded coal loading terminal at Abbot Point.
Oh, rubbish, 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 rubbish. Look, we've been dredging ports up and down the Queensland coast for over 100 years without environmental impacts. But in the scheme of things, this is a very small dredging program done in about 3 to 4 weeks over about 5 years. This is not going to threaten the environment. We know how to dredge ports in Queensland. We've done it successfully.
Do you know how to dump? Because the concern is the dumping of 3 million tonnes of mud and dredge inside the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park, isn't it?
Well, in fact, Abbot Point is not inside the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. ironically, the alternative put up by the environmentalists is actually to build the port trestles out into the marine park. So let's get our facts right.
It's about where we dump the dredge, I think, is the argument.
Well, exactly. And we know that there is a site being identified which has minimal impacts on the environment. We're not going to dump on coral, on seagrass. We're going to make sure that the dredge spoil does not resuspend and impact on coral and seagrass.
On reef water quality, that's the concern, isn't it?
Well, we've had just recently the experience down at the port of Hay Point near Mackay. This was a dredging program three times as big. The Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority got in the independent experts to say, how did that program go? What was the impacts on the environment? And what that independent study found was that a program three times as big as the proposed Abbot Point program was able to tick all the environmental boxes. Any impacts were temporary. Yes, there'll be some cloudiness in the water around the time of the dredging.
It's 29 past 8 on Breakfast. We're speaking with Michael Roche, Chief Executive of the Queensland Resources Council. Michael, making news today also the fact that Queensland has this week approved the fourth LNG processing plant at Gladstone's Curtis Island, another big boom resources area for Queensland in particular. Conservation groups say that the Arrow project, which is what it is called, will involve drilling at least 1,500 coal seam gas wells on some of the best farming land in Queensland. Are you concerned about conflict over this resource in rural Australia, given that Tony Abbott and Ian McFarlane have been very clear in voicing their support for the farmers' right to say no? Do you think the right legislation is in place now to make both sides happy?
Well, the Commonwealth has no role in this, fortunately, and so they can talk all they like about access to land. It is a state matter, and it's working very successfully in Queensland. The thousands of land access agreements have been struck between farmers and gas companies. Farmers are earning a second income now from hosting gas infrastructure. Most of the farmers that I talk to are very happy about coexistence with the gas companies. Arrow Energy are very focused on coexistence. They have a plan around minimal impacts on the high-intensive agricultural areas. We are living right now the success story of coexistence between gas and agriculture in Queensland, and it's about time the federal politicians came and had a look.
Michael Roche, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Michael Roche is the Chief Executive of the Queensland Resources Council.